Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 812.
What you got on the Nerdist corkboard?
I got a fun one because I just got back from the Laughing Skull Comedy Festival. And after one of my shows, I had people come out from the show because they enjoyed the intros to the Nerdist.
What?
Also, to a lesser extent, the rest of the podcast, I suppose.
You're intro famous.
But I met a guy named Alex who has a podcast called the 2v1 Podcast. And it's him and his buddies, and they do it about video games. And they are not guys who are in the industry. They are just dudes who love video games and debate. They have different tastes, so it's a lot of times one of the guys taking on the other two about things. And I've actually been listening. I started listening on the flight back from the festival, and it's a really good podcast. And Alex is a really cool guy, so I wanted to give him a nice little shout out.
Great. What's the, I thought it would be funny if it was two people who just didn't know video games.
All right, Alex, here's what you do. Come
Doc, knock them.
You got to lose the other two guys. We got to find two dupes, and you start explaining them video games.
Alex, don't let Kyle get in your ear. No, he's a Alex, bad influence.
No, this is a solid influence.
You're just massaging his ego because you said you liked him, and now he's mentioning your thing. No, don't.
Big, bright, shining star.
Alex, don't. I mean, yes, Alex, you are a big, bright, shining star. But don't let Kyle get in your head. Don't ditch the other guy. What's the other
there.
Guy's name?
I don't know. I only know the name of the star because he's the one who paid to see me.
Oh, my God.
Look, man, when the other two paid the cash, you understand how this works.
You.
What are the name of all those people who didn't pay to see your shows?
Solipsistic son of a bitch. Katie?
Seek Donnelly, who has made things such as The Adventures of Soul Star and The Kings of Neverland, brings his latest mixed media epic to life. By the way, Seek is awesome.
Yeah.
If you ever listen to Harmontown, you have heard him. So his new book, I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, and Seek, I wish you had told me how to say this, but it's Alain Vital is a comic art book with narrative
Alain
that spans, sure, that spans beyond the pages into music, videos, and more. It's about a robot that is given a soul, and he searches two lifetimes of memories to discover he may be more human than he thinks.
They could have called it Soul Robot.
Yeah.
Soulbot. Soulbot.
And Seek, if you don't know, is a brain aneurysm survivor, and he lost most of his own memories. And so he is using this to help himself remember some of his own memories.
That's his
incredible.
Own soul
yeah.
robot.
It's really interesting. It's produced by Dan Harmon and Feral Audio and published by Nerd Nation. And so if you go to SeekDonnelly.com, you can get more info, find out where to get it. And Seek is spelled S-I-I-K-E.
Excellent. Thank Thanks. You, Katie Levine, and thank you, Kyle. Also, we're doing two live podcasts at San Diego Comic-Con.
What?
On the Saturday of Comic-Con in San Diego. And then Friday, I'm doing a stand-up show from the all-new ID10 T-Tour. Joke-em-ups, yeah. And then I've just put tickets on sale for the Wilbur Theater in Boston, November 4th. More dates in the fall to come. Boston just went up sooner than the other ones for some reason, but if you go to ID10T.com...
Remember when in these very intros you were asking people, please buy tickets for the Wilbur to try to get people to come out? Now look at you.
Well,
that's
I'm...
That's kind of neat.
I mean, the truth is I still want to beg people to come out to see me. Trying, I'm sure they're just sick of it. So, I'm trying to downplay it a little bit. Like, hey, you know, if you want to come out to the show, please come out to the show, please. Please come out to the show.
This episode is Maria Bamford, who is one of my favorite people and comedians.
She's a treasure of the earth.
Of all time. Maria Bamford is a treasure of the earth. I absolutely adore Maria Bamford. This is her third time on the podcast. And she is a remarkable individual, not just because of how her brain works, but also just stuff that she's had to navigate that she's very cool and open about that she has incorporated into her comic genius. And Lady Dynamite is her show.
It's
it is a
so
Netflix
good.
Show, and you should absolutely fucking watch Lady Dynamite. It is great. It is Maria in a show. It is just – it is what inside Maria's head but in a show. So please watch that and support amazing things like Maria Bamford. The episode 812 here on the Nerdist Podcast – with Maria Bamford. Katie, please roll the thing. Kyle. Wait, are you Kyle from the Nerdist Podcast intros?
No, I'm the guy who does the Jackie and Laurie show.
Oh.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Excited that you are here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And I've heard it. Anyways, well, we'll talk all about everything.
What? What do you want to talk about?
Well you're doing wedding plans, and so I'm excited for
you. Yes. Thank you. You are a married lady now.
Oh, really?
Congratulations!
Yeah.
Getting all married.
It's pretty fun.
Good.
It's pretty fun. It's like, what's weird is like people are really you get like this welcoming feeling, like into like a weird community of like, we support you. If you guys have any problems down the line, give us a call. It can get hard.
Hey, not every day is going to be like a first date.
No, 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 exactly. Yeah. They're just so, it's really lovely.
You know, it's not the days where stuff is happening. Sometimes it's the days where nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Those are the days you really got to focus.
Every minute counts.
Yeah. You just got to appreciate it.
Yeah, I love
minute,
each other.
Day by day. You
gratitude.
Know. Your partners, though, you know, it's like your partners.
You're a team.
You're a team. You're a two-person team.
It's not
team.
Your fault. Your fault.
Yeah.
We do this together.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I do. I do, actually. But it has taken me, like, it takes like a cognitive shift. Like, I think I've had to, like, go, oh, right, he's trying his best, too.
it's not just me.
Yeah, you know, no. It's no. We got a therapist about 3 months into dating because I was just like, okay, I both of us are older and we're like, let's make this fucking work, right? We can do this. Like, I mean, we're just both all in just because it's. I just don't. I thought it was supposed to come naturally. I do not believe that at all anymore. Like, now I'm just like, I'm all for effort. Put in the effort, and that's good enough for me.
Well, I think anyone who's had anxiety or depression, or even if you haven't, and like, consistent happiness really does take work.
Yeah.
It's not something that just happens at you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have to seek it out. You have to see things that are positive. You have to experience it.
Yes.
It's not just like, what the fuck? It's not like a fucking bus that you're waiting for. Yeah, like, where the fuck is this bus?
Where's the happy bus?
There's no happy bus. I've been waiting here for like a year. Where's the fucking happy bus?
Unless some people do seem to have a happy bus, though, every day. Like, they're pumped about everything. Like, my mom, as she gets older, and I think I do get genuinely more grateful for things as I get older. Like, look at this wonderful table. I kind of want to find out the details of how this all came about and then take enjoyment in it.
I think because as you get older, you realize that that most things are work and hard. And take effort.
Yes, exactly.
So when you see that someone took the time to like make this mahogany table with the thick planks and put in these little pieces there, and there's like, that is you appreciate how much work things are.
Yeah, and put this whole room together. Did you pick this wallpaper?
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
It's great. Yeah, it's the fuzzy Star Wars wallpaper.
Fuzzy. It's fuzzy.
Maria Bamford goes over to wall to touch said fuzzy wall. There it is. It's fabric paper. It's great.
That is delightful.
We got to get you some of this for your house.
Oh my god. I think I would. What if I got some a roll of it? Then I would give it to Jackie because I know that my friend
Jackie Cajun,
she would love it.
Jackie Cajun.
Do they record in the same room?
Meltdown.
Okay. Well, she's wonderful.
Dork Forest Podcast. Jackie Cajun.
And she is a beacon of hope, as she says, in terms of relationships. Like, you know, didn't have meet her husband until she was 40, and I held on to her like a little life raft. And you just got to find somebody who's all in. And that's what I did. And it's really fun. Yeah, we get to have meals together, a lot of meals together.
Yeah, you have a lot of meals.
Yeah.
You have a lot.
They keep coming.
Meals keep, because you got to keep eating, so you should eat them together.
Yeah.
It's good eating together. If you're not eating the majority of your meals together, there might be a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what's the point?
Yeah. Don't take your food in your office or work.
It's like, you haven't been at breakfast lately.
Well, maybe I don't want breakfast.
Oh, wait a minute.
This is a deal breaker. I can't.
Are you gay? Or do you just not like breakfast?
Hey guys, this is your support group. Sometimes marriages go through gay patches.
Which, you know what? I'm all for. Like, I mean, now that I realize, like, I dated somebody who I remember they revealed, you know, just were vulnerable enough to tell me that they had had, you know, were bisexual. And I think I, you know, was freaked out by that. And now I just think, oh, what a jackass I was. Like, you know, like everybody's got different things that are going to freak you out. Because whatever it is, their weird thing is, like, I have my weird thing that's isn't scary to me because it's me.
Right.
But, you know, so it's like, ugh, you work it out. Work it out, people. Nobody's going to be perfect.
So do you feel like it's a good idea to present all your weird stuff up front to another person to just get it all on the table? Or do you like to, do you like the discovery process?
I like the discovery process, but also like, yeah, I think everybody knows there's going to be stuff. But you, of course, you don't, I don't put it up front just because it's tiresome. Yeah. You want to have a little excitement, like, oh, the third date, like, you brought your credit report? You know, like, wow.
Well, yeah.
It's so low. I didn't know that.
It's a lot of inquiries. How do you get to go? This is a lot of inquiries here.
How do you get to go places?
Let's... A lot of addresses. There's a lot of addresses up here. You can probably take some of those off. I think we all kind of have this because, you know, I imagine that living in a culture that's so influenced by entertainment. Mm-hmm. It's like 100 years ago, people were not as influenced by entertainment as they are now. Yeah. I feel like there's much more idealized, probably improper views of how things are. So, you know, because of romantic movies, romantic comedy, it's like, oh, we live in a Notting Hill world where it's just like all the time is just going to be like that moment in a bookshop. And, you know, like my therapist had said, hey, you know, no relationship is ideal. Every relationship is going to have stuff sooner or later, no matter, even if you go, oh, if I really just was with that person, everything would be perfect. Like, well, probably not. And you have your stuff, they have their stuff, and you kind of just...
No.
You have to figure out how to fold it together and accept each other.
Work it out. It's so awesome. Like, I mean, and things, or at least if I feel like the things that I was most fearful about are the things that we now embrace. Like, we work through that together. Like, that's our victory of, like, whatever. Like, I think my beloved husband... I think he was a little concerned about my mental health history, although he was awesome about it. Like, he was like, listen, if you ever have to go in the psych ward, I know sometimes they don't let you have sharp things, and women, a friend of mine went in, sometimes women grow a beard. I'd come in and shave your beard. I was like, well, that's just about the most romantic thing I ever did here.
Maria Bamford stroking her fake beard. She's doing her beard stroking face work. Those are loving words.
That's what I said. That's so beautiful. Oh, so lovely. So beautiful. But I think he was anxious about that and nervous that that I might be unsafe and for good reason. You know, like, I mean, yeah, you don't know how somebody's going to be until over long periods of time. Things take time. Like a friend, like I started looking back to my friendship and going, did I trust my friends immediately? No. Like, I was like, well, she seems like kind of a bitch for like the first, you know, 2 months. And then like a year in, I'm like, you are so wonderful. Like, it takes a huge amount of time. And also, there is the human risk. There is the fact that sometimes people let each other down. And if I, you know, let's say my beloved husband, if he did, you know, whatever, leave me for some reason, what an awesome risk to have taken. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just go, we both looked into the prenuptial thing because I was a... Because we're both older and just thought, oh, maybe we should look through that just as a responsible thing to do. But that seemed – just going through that paperwork stuff seems so like all about – at least for me seemed so much about like lack of trust and lack of faith just even in the process itself that I decided not to do it because I was like, well – you know, even if whatever it ends up, you know, the worst thing happens, I'd rather have risked. I'd rather have risked. And also, I believe that whatever fortunes we've made together have been made together.
Right.
And I don't, and believe me, we are
half millionaires in real estate only.
That's better than money a lot of times. It's better than cash a lot of times. No. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of funny because we're talking about that, but only from the point of view of, I feel like, so that nothing is ever about material things, you know, so that it's so that there's never any squabble about, like, it's just all, look, I have my stuff, you have your stuff. That's not what we care about. We care about each other. So let's just keep all that stuff separate so that we're not, because, you know, I think people tend to, you know, relate, like financial stuff can be a strain on relationships.
Yeah.
And I think part of kind of dealing with that up front is just having it not, just like, just get it all out of the way now and then not, you know.
When I love open book accounting. I love everybody knowing what, like, I asked for my husband 3 months and I asked him for his credit report because I was like, not that I was worried. I just wanted to know that he knew what was on it. Like, because he did have a student loan debt and credit card debt, and he knew exactly what was on it, which was very hopeful to me. Like,
right.
I just get scared when somebody's like, oh, you know, I'm fine. Listen, but I just got a BMW and, you know, 17 Jaguars.
Is that the one they're taking away?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, probably. I'll just get another one.
And my bitch ex-wife, she keeps taking these. You know, I was dating some guy who had alimony payments, and he was so mad about it. I'm like, do you have any clarity about, you know, could you make it lower or you have two children with her? She genuinely was a partner. You were together 20 years. Like, what is all this anger? Like, it just seems so useless. Like, I don't want to be, for me, that was more of a concern than somebody having debt. It was just like, do you know what it is? And are you, you know, okay with it? Or how do you feel about it? You know, I don't know. Cause like that I was, I guess that was like lack of clarity.
Well, it's good. It's also good that you guys had the talk about, cause listen, mental health issues are not sort of like what you said. Anyone could snap or leave or do something. Yeah. Not
get a brain injury,
cool or I mean,
yeah.
Anyone clock yourself?
Anything. Light clocking on some LOL furniture from Crate and Barrel. It can do it. It's recycled and it is tough.
It'll knock you the fuck out, or leave with the circus, or it's like, there's a million.
No,
things.
Yeah, that's part of the beauty and the excitement and the romance of intimacy, of friendship, of. You know, creativity of business of whatever is like going, okay, we're gonna do this, right? And then, you know, like,
I think it's also important to know like what your goals are, and there, and these are unsexy things to talk about,
right?
I mean, but
I beg to differ. I think it is one of the sexiest things to talk about is to talk about finances, for me. Finances and being honest and talking about, well, not only finances, but sex and intimacy and communication, like those things, the fact of willingness to talk about those boring, stupid, like the whole thing, like we went to this, my husband was willing to go to my nerd festival, which my nerd festival is to go to a couple's counseling weekend with Dr. John and Judy Gottman, who do the Love Lab in Seattle, which is 40 years of research on marriage, where you go in for 36 hours to a love lab and they observe you for on camera. And then they watch for the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which are criticism, contempt, defensiveness and stonewalling, and you don't want those in your relationship because that can of course, and then you do whatever you need to do to avoid those, which is you avoid that by these other techniques, and it was all sciencey and fun. But he went and we did these goofy, you know, exercise together, and that was so romantic to me.
Well,
like
that is,
was so exciting,
absolutely,
and sexy or whatever. More, and so is doing the bookkeeping. Actually, every month we have like a meeting about our finances, and that's kind of exciting. Like, because I feel like we make plans for the future.
You're working together.
Yeah, we're working together. We have a living revocable trust that, in case I have full, I have that kind of Lloyd's of London insurance that if I die, he gets a payout because I'm a high risk insurance because of suicide attempts. That's going to cost you $5,000 a year. If I only hadn't tried so hard.
So you're saying you don't follow through with it? No, I know this is very... No, I just mean if...
I mean, it's... But it's, you know, it's good because it's... I find planning to be very... sexy, because when I say unsexy, I mean in general people don't find it sexy to have to talk about details and planning the future. But I love it because it just, it's, you know, there are so few things you really have control over. But as long as you can, you know, each time you kind of fuck something up, you go, okay, next time I'm gonna go. It's sort of like the Groundhog Day thing where you're like, okay, I gotta remember this and this and this and this and this. So when you do kind of mindfully lay things out and create a structure, and like, this is, you know, this is how we can kind of avoid some of the, you're just not surprised by as many things. You will be surprised.
You're always going to be surprised, yeah. But like, there's that feeling of like,
fuck, I don't know.
Yeah, or we're getting better at it together.
Together.
Like just this morning, okay, I...
Ripped from the headlines.
Ripped from the headlines. I decided to come in on an earlier flight, and my bag went in on a later flight, but I didn't want to wait for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked my husband, would he drive down with me to LAX to pick up that bag? And if you live in Los Angeles, you know that driving down to LAX, even with the love of your life, is a dire prospect. And so we went down there, and then I thought it was kind of fun if I rushed back to the car with my bag, because he wanted to take the elevator, I wanted to take the stairs, and if I, it's hard to picture, if I would pull the car around fast so that I would be there picking him up when he came out of the elevator to say that I was so fast coming up. Not so funny, because he could not find me and then was terrified or just like pissed and had a terrified, and sometimes anger comes out when you're scared.
Right.
And so he said, hey, could you not do that, Maria? Because it's something my dad does. My dad will disappear. When we were kids, he would disappear and then pop up.
What was he doing?
You got me. I don't know.
It was an extended game of adult peekaboo.
Yeah, exactly. Full body peekaboo. We would be like, I remember being it. Nobody's doing that anymore.
Yeah.
you used to see that a lot on the
road. I'm bringing it back.
Bringing it back. I remember my dad. Yeah, we'd go. We were in a national park once and wandering around, and my dad would disappear. And then I knew he could keep track of us because he would pop back up, but we would get scared and not be able to find him. And so
he would never say, like, I was just dot, dot, dot. He would just be like, I'm here now.
No, he'd just be, I'm here now. And he'd just be kind of like, and he'd give us little assignments that were sort of dangerous, if not illegal. Like, why don't you go underneath that fence and see how hot that geyser is? Wow, that's a felony.
Where'd you go?
but I see that with affection now. And so I think if I act in like, oh, I'm going to disappear and then pop up again.
Yeah.
Like somehow that's going to be fun. And that is
mad, or did he communicate it?
He got mad. And then he said, I was just really scared. I didn't know where the car was. I felt lost. I didn't know where you were. And then all of a sudden you came up behind me, and then all these people were following him in the parking lot thinking he was going to a car. And so he's like being followed by these four cars, like, you know, so it was stressful. And yeah, it wasn't the ultimate surprise.
Didn't
then,
have the payoff.
I did not have
the
payoff.
So the car ride home was much different than the car ride
to
the airport.
Yeah, the car ride to the airport, it was fun. And when we did, and we did, we worked it out, you know, and then we had, and how we work it out sometimes is go, one of us goes, and then the other person goes, you know that noise when you make when you butt your head into your sibling to move over?
I'm an only child.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's you do that. You can butt your head into the area of your sibling, and then they get out of the way.
Gotcha. So it's like a ram technique.
It's a ramming technique.
It's a ramming technique. It's a ramming displacement technique. I just find that it's, you know, my therapist said something really great to me about relationships that tend to last. There is a strong element of courtesy and the couple being nice
to one another.
Kindness.
Yes,
there's kindness. Not to say that you won't get upset or they won't piss you off
or
you won't piss them off, but you know, sort of understanding. And I do try to do a good job of, like, if I do get cranky or something, go, I'm sorry. It's just because this or this or this, or I'm nervous about this, or I'm scared about this, or I'm stressed about this, and I want you to understand this is not you.
Yeah,
this
no.
Me, and it's not you, and I apologize.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's all anybody wants or anybody needs. Like I know Scott's noticed about me. I get very anxious before shows, which means I get irritable. Interesting.
What?
Because I'm afraid. I feel afraid before shows.
Still at this point.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. I get just terrified. I feel like it's just not. I think even maybe with. I don't know. It's just my own experience. I've worked on it. I saw a life coach about it, like how to positively reframe performance, like what are the thoughts that I'm having, and yeah, I still seem to have this dread sometimes before shows where people have paid to come see it.
Sure.
I just get I get anxious, and but now he knows that about me, and is kind of like, well, do you want to rehearse your jokes? Because that helps me calm down. Do you want me to go away, or do you need to take a walk? Or, you know, just having more compassion for each other. And he gets very anxious about, he has like sound sensitivity. He grew up in sort of a PTSD sort of situation where he's growing up. So any like loud sounds, turns out we live next to a frat house, and it is not as funny as you think.
What? It's not like a hilarious movie starring Vince Vaughn and today's hottest youth? Or
oh no, it's, well, I don't know. They're another handsome group has moved in, and they've came over and said the thing that they always do, which, hey, we just want to get to know you guys. Please let us know if there's any noise issues. Just text us.
Oh, that must be very easy then. You just, when there's a noise issue, you just text them and it stops, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah, immediately.
And then what happens at 3 a.m. when they're playing Sweet Home Alabama?
The classics.
It's still speaking to people. To white boys.
Playing brown-eyed girls.
White men who have a full ride scholarship through college paid for by their parents are still being buoyed by that tune. Anyways, so and then it's just alcohol's involved. So whenever people are drinking, they can't really think too straight, and then they can't do anything that they said they were going to do. You know, shame on me. Shame on me.
Why?
They said. The people who rent the house to the kids said, it's a college area. You should have known when you bought the house.
It's your fault that they're loud. Your fault that they're playing music at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And I'm sure.
Way to not take responsibility on their part.
Yeah. The joke I've gotten from is the kids said, yeah, you know, it's our senior year, so we're just trying to enjoy our house. And I said, oh, okay, well, yes, Scott's, we get it, because Scott's 52 and I'm 45, and this year we said we're going to try anal. So if you hear any yelps, it's just pleasure. We're just trying to enjoy our house.
Should have known when you moved in. This is an anal neighborhood.
We're in the peak of our lives. We're just getting AARP. Our lives have just begun.
I'm sorry to bother you, but I cannot hear Sweet Home Alabama over the sounds of the yelping coming from here. I'm trying to listen to Back in Black by AC/DC, and I cannot concentrate.
Don't worry, it's pleasure. You don't have to call the cops on us, man.
That's an amazing sketch. That's an amazing sketch of the older married couple next to the red house trying to explain that sometimes they're gonna try sexual acts
that might be painful.
It's gonna bum out their party.
Yeah, we know you have women over sometimes, and just my wife. Jesus, I mean, she's just getting to new heights.
My anus. Oh, my butt! I'm all leaking! What do I do?
Excuse me, can you please... Yeah, we're trying to haze some freshmen.
Man, just over here. Sorry, man.
I really should have done this when I was younger. Probably would have been...
Scotch, and he loves... I mean, the thing is, when he's penetrating me, we like to turn up the volume on the noise music from the 70s. You know, which kind of sounds like a 747 that hasn't practiced.
We like to do butt stuff while listening to Bob Welch's Sentimental Lady. By the way, I'm sorry that I've gone this long without telling you how much I love your show.
I'm so glad.
Lady Dynamite's fucking great. Okay. And the thing that makes me the happiest about it for you is that as long as I've known you, which is getting close to 20 years now.
Yes, I think it is.
I always would think, fuck, someone just needs to give her a show to let her to just like throw her brain onto film completely. And it happened a bit at Super Deluxe when you did that series at Super Deluxe. But this really is This show really is you, and it's so good, and you're so good in it. And even all the fourth wall breaking and all the commentary on the nature of the comedy of the show, I know is a legitimate organic concern you have about your relationship to your audience.
Yes, for sure. Like, I was worried. I didn't want to have any more brick backgrounds. I've seen so much... I didn't want to see myself standing in front of although that does happen during the show. Sadly, I'm so sorry, but it's late in life opportunity, you know, man.
It's not that late though.
But it is the golden age of content. Like, there's a place for everybody. I was at a Lyft ride, and I was, of course, trying to get added attention, and I said to the guy, I have a show on Netflix, and the guy was like, oh yeah, a friend of mine's on a Netflix show. Like, it's no big deal. Like, there's just so many wonderful shows out there, and everybody, there's many more voices. I hope there will be more to come.
I don't know why that reminds me of a joke. Did you ever see The Big Picture, Christopher Guest movie with Kevin Bacon? From like 1991 or 1990.
No.
It's great. It's a great kind of... I've talked about it a couple of times on the podcast before, but it's a real under-the-radar movie that's so fucking fantastic that if you under... I mean, even if you don't understand how the entertainment process works, it's funny. But if you do understand how it works and it still holds up, it's amazing. But there's a point where Kevin Bacon is a director and things aren't going well, and he goes to apply for the job at this restaurant, and he's, you know, it's this hip restaurant, and the guy's like, Nick, I see you're a director. Jimmy, our busboy's a director. You know, it's just like that. It's just that thing of like, everyone's but it's a really great movie that you should absolutely...
I will check. That sounds like a...
Do you have movie nights?
One. Oh, yes. Of course.
What do you like to watch?
We watched all of Bloodline season 1 and 2. Netflix. One man goes, and another man goes, and another man goes. I don't know if you watch it. Okay. And then Scott gets movies from the special video store in South Pasadena. So we watched a French movie where Death is playing chess, I want to say.
You sure you weren't watching Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Yeah. It was French. It was in French. Gotcha. So that was very. He's tried to broaden my experience because mostly I do on the road. I watch whatever's on TLC at the time. Gypsies are getting married. They're using actual bleach as toothpaste. It's not right.
Breaking Amish. I hope that they're all going to get shunned.
And then it happens.
And then it happens. It's awful. Yeah, they probably get shunned just for doing that show.
Yeah, right? Yeah. No. Well, yeah, that's the. But we, yeah, no, we it's watch. We likes to watch a. We seem to watch murder series together. I don't watch as much comedy just because I think it's sometimes it does feel a little bit like work where I go, oh, either I want to be on the show or I go, God, that's an incredible show. And I feel sad.
Do you watch like the Jinx type stuff, or do you watch like, you know, those Investigation Discovery?
Oh no, we watch some British ones. Let me see. So it's even more removed because they have an accent. I think I could never book that. That's shot in Wales.
When am I going to be there?
I got two gigs in the Pennsylvania area.
We watch a lot of Portuguese musical comedy.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is totally what I want to watch. It's just something so far removed from my experience. Let me see. We watched, Broadchurch.
Broadchurch, yeah.
That's a good one.
David Tennant.
And then Happy Valley. Happy Valley. And Happy Valley. No. It's English. Happy Valley. Anyways, very good. Doesn't matter. The point is.
I like the walk through the crayon box of accents.
They're all confused versions. Then what else have we watched? Oh, we watched that other scary one that takes place in Seattle and has the red-haired lady who never smiles throughout the entire show. It's terrible. Sex murders.
I don't know which one that is.
Okay.
Sex murders?
Sex murders, guy who eats donuts and is a former drug addict who's thin and talks in Ebonics, though he's white.
Mike and Molly? No, I don't know. It's just, trying to... Oh, Joel Kinnaman's in it?
Yeah.
RoboCop. Okay, it's not RoboCop.
Anyways, it's okay. IMDb. Yeah. It's okay.
Come on, internet. I need you now.
We're nerds.
Seriously.
It should go fast.
We need all information at all times. And you're really letting me down right now, internet. I really feel like we need to have a discussion about our relationship.
Internet, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like when I ask...
Killing!
Oh, The Killing! That was the old AMC series that jumped over to Netflix?
Yes.
Jumped over to Netflix,
love
yeah.
Love that. Except then it got too creepy near the end. Scott almost didn't want to watch it.
You know, I thought that was a really great show. I watched like the first season or two of that maybe. Mm-hmm. And But I was so emotionally drained after mm-hmm. every episode.
Yeah.
I mean, the poor actors on that show who were just crying for, you know... Their yeah. shoot day is just like 8 hours of sobbing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a beautiful show, but I always just felt so exhausted by it.
Yeah, no, I know. Well, that was one thing to learn. I've never been on a TV show as a main player, and so it was very. I did not realize the hours of shooting a TV show.
Well, the kind that you're shooting, which is a single camera show. If you were on a sitcom, you'd be 10 to 5, 3 weeks on, 1 week off, 4 days a week. You know, like you'd have a cake schedule.
Oh, it's
but
cake, yeah.
Your single camera show.
Yeah, that was, I think this is the vision. If there is a second season, what do you think of this?
Okay.
Chris Hardwick.
All right.
Nerdist staff and crew.
And apparent Netflix executive. Yeah.
And Netflix executives, mm-hmm. if there are listening. Okay. Bamford gets a hard out at 10 hours. Okay. All other scenes that are needed to play the Lady Dynamite can be played by a different actor in every episode, giving opportunities to lesser-known, very talented actors of all stripes.
All right, so it sounds like, though, and I'm just playing devil's advocate, it sounds like you're trying to create an altruistic perception of You just wanted to leave after.
No, a non-profit sitcom. Okay. It's a non-profit sitcom. We give all of the profits to the Downtown Women's Center in Los Angeles. I do one scene of every show as myself, and then other people play me.
Okay.
Complete with the voice. Okay. Like, they have to do my voice. They have to do a perfect impersonation. This isn't going to be easy.
Which voice, though?
This one.
Okay. But what about when you kind of drift into character stuff?
They have to do that too. This is going to be a tour de force for some lucky dozen if we get 12 episodes or Baker's
dozen. So you can just have a 1 day work week.
Well, no, I could work 2 days. I could work. I want to be in every, maybe a half of every scene.
Half of every scene, yeah.
Half of every scene, then halfway through. Tag team.
Would it be too literal if, in the name of Lady Dynamite, halfway through a scene, you blow up and you reassemble as a different person? Oh,
that's wonderful. I like that idea.
Lady Dynamite!
Lady Dynamite!
Hello, I'm Maria.
I just think I like the idea that I'm too sleepy to do my own show.
I think that's a great storyline for your show. Where you all of a sudden change into someone else and it's not explained, and 3/4 of the way through the episode, like, you know, the comedy cops come and you're like asleep in your trailer and you're like, I'm trying to give other opportunities. No, you just don't want to work as much. I didn't know it would be so hard.
Okay, so just one episode like that?
I think you could do it. You think one episode, Kyle?
I think we go the whole season.
You think you go the whole season?
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah.
Big ups. Thanks, Dale. Well, thanks.
Guess it's going to be the first Bamford, Kyle.
Yeah. Well, you're also a tall, strapping white male. So we're going to try to give opportunities.
Give you your break in this business.
Exactly.
Finally, someone standing up for you.
You know, we're going to, I think I'd want to get people who are less well represented in the show business milieu.
So confident people. What?
Hear me out.
Yeah, okay. the confident the sexy.
I operate a puppet.
Oh, sure.
There we go. I'm back in.
All right.
I don't think you're back in at all. I actually think this is a really interesting idea. I mean, I genuinely think this is a really interesting idea.
Just because I think it's job sharing.
Yeah.
It's job sharing for comedians. Like, I just think it's crazy. Like, you know, like, or especially, I'm such a bullshit artist saying that, oh, I have bipolar and I really need to take care of myself. Oh, I just shot a TV show and almost killed myself for 3 months. But no, I'm really, my health is so important. You know, because it was super hard. And
I'm sure
it was just on the edge of, you know, kind of losing it. So I think, let's be real about what I can actually accomplish. And maybe I'll be awake for the acting.
So is it the kind of thing where if they were like, congratulations, season 2, to be like, yay.
Yeah. Oh, no. I would be excited. I'd love to do it. And these are the variables.
Right.
Or these are my my new ideas.
I mean, I think it's really important for you to be a voice in this world dealing with what you deal with, because I feel like to be able to talk about it so conversationally, to be able to weave it into your act and to be able to find comedy and to be able to just have regular conversations about it, I think really helps demystify. Because I think it's, you know, people to varying degrees, so many people suffer from some form of something, particularly now. And I don't know if that it was a lot of stuff was undiagnosed before, but I really do believe that now we are just so fried all the time because of how much stuff there is to process at all times.
Yes, yeah.
So I think it's really, you know, I mean, I don't know if you consider yourself an official spokesperson for mental health, but I think you are a really good spokesperson for people who are suffering from issues that, you know, maybe it makes someone goes, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't feel right and it's not horrible if I go get help.
Yeah, yeah. Take it. Take a year off. Take two. Find the right meds mix. I know that was such a big and also I want to say that, I mean, it's tiresome, I think, to hear about from people who have illnesses who are also people who I have great health care. I live in the arts community where it is very supportive. And, you know, my manager, when I called him and said I basically couldn't work for an undetermined amount of time, he said, "Oh yeah, I have another client who's bipolar. Call me when you're ready." like it wasn't a big deal. So I want to say how I'm very lucky. I think it's more inspiring to hear from people who are truly disabled by how do you deal with that and be able to maintain relationships, have any kind of job and sort of not get isolated in a place where it requires money a lot in our society to connect with people. And anyways, I just think poverty is a thing that the inequality is adding to the isolation and mental illness as well.
Well, what is something that someone can do if they don't have the resources to...
Well, one thing I always plug this, not because I'm a member of these, because if I were a member of these things, that would be anonymous. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I think one thing that I've heard about mm-hmm. are so awesome are, well, number one, there is the National Association of Mental Illness, NAMI meetings, where you can go to those are free. You can go to and groups, and there are also, there AA has tons of open meetings. Like there's something I think very healing and can also shift cognitively just being with other human beings and having a cup of coffee and hearing about somebody else's life, whether or not you have a problem with alcohol. I mean, I know you're supposed to only go there if you have a problem with drinking, but I think that group vibe, you know, it's a distinctly American invention that happened, that the self-help, because we don't have religion as much anymore in our society to bring people together.
Well, now, I don't know. I feel like it's back on the rise.
Oh, well, some religions. But I
do think that, a support group is really good.
Support group, the internet is huge. Like I know that I got a lot of comfort through, when I was really feeling terrible. First of all, call 911 if you are have a plan to kill yourself and do not feel safe by yourself, or have a plan to kill somebody else and do not feel safe by yourself. Just hang up, dial 911 right now. And if you're just in, you know, an okay space, I went on, you know, like crazymeds.us is hilarious. Like they tell you, it's all people sharing about all the side effects that they have or experiences they've had with mental health. And that helped me feel less alone. You know, obviously, you've got to be careful on the internet just because but it's just like in everyday life. If you're going to walk into a public place, there's going to be 4% of the people there are going to be wing nuts.
Right.
When I say wing nuts, I mean abhorrent ethically. I don't mean actually. Mental illness is not ethical.
You mean people you should not listen
to.
People
who aren't pleasant. Or I don't know, not pleasant. I don't know. People you just might not like.
Right.
4%.
And you're feeling okay now?
Oh, yeah. Yes, as far as I know. I tell people, hey, if ever I start talking too fast about wanting to get in touch with the Pope, put me in a purple van. Drive me to doggy daycare because I need to be boarded for the weekend. but I'm... But I feel great right now, and I say no to a lot of stuff. Like I don't make as much money as I probably could. I said no to about $10,000 worth of work this month because of just feeling like I can't do that to myself. I can't, because really no one will tell you to stop working, you know, in our society. No one will say, hey, seems like, you know, you're struggling. Why don't you take some time? I've never heard, I mean, I was vomiting on set. No one, they brought me a bucket and they kept giving me my lines
right.
during the show, partially because everyone's union. Nobody wants to be responsible for the person who said, oh, they told the talent to, you know.
Right.
But also, we have a very, we're based on.
Materialism?
Materialism combined with, what's the thing? The work ethic thing? Where the Quakers? Not the Quakers. Where the people who worked and we're all guilty about it?
The...
Calvinists.
Oompa Loompa.
Oompa Loompa.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that there's always this... I feel shame about saying no to stuff. Like I was asked to give a... oh, God, a prestigious thing. But... it's a prestigious thing.
You know how many people would kill for that?
Yeah, that'd be so awesome. It's like, if it means that I'm going to feel shitty, even if it's like for one day, I feel like I'm going bananas and I've got too much going on and I start being rude to people and I'm not kind to myself or others, then it's not worth it.
No, the ultimate goal should be your comfort and happiness.
Yeah.
as long as you can survive, you know, your comfort and your happiness. And if you're set like a little extra money, but if you're going crazy, it's not going to be helpful if you're wadding it up and then smacking yourself in the face with it. Like you can't.
Yeah.
You need to be able to function. You need to be able to feel healthy. And getting more money is not going to make you feel more healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you, even if I'm like, if everything that you're doing fucks you up so much, the selfish side is like, well, you're not going to be able to enjoy it. You're not going to be able to spend it. You know?
Yeah.
You're just going to probably spend it on more health.
You spend it on, like, I know when I worked a lot, when I had the Target thing, bought a bunch of crazy shoes and, you know, went on vacation and stayed in a really nice place. It's like, I like a Hampton Inn. I mean, a Hampton Inn is very nice. I'm not saying they're not nice.
I'm telling you, listen, they're not sponsoring this podcast. They're not telling me to say this. If you're ever in a jam and you need a hotel, there are fucking Hampton Inns everywhere. And the beds are great.
They are great. And they always have free coffee. And sometimes you go to, like a DoubleTree. Sure, they got a hot cookie. Is it always hot? Not always, I learned recently when I was
Did that change your worldview?
Yeah.
I saw the world differently.
I thought this whole cookie thing was supposed to be a hot cookie thing.
So it's just a cookie. Maybe you should just say fucking cookie on the sign.
Oh, you keep it in an oven. Well, the oven's not on, friend!
I'm going to Hampton Inn, and I'm going to write a strongly worded comment on your Yelp page. Which location is this?
Also, I want to say how offensive that might be to hear somebody saying I'm turning down work, because I know a lot of people that you have to work to survive.
You know what? Everyone in the world is offended by something, and if that's going to offend someone, that's not your problem. All you can do is focus on what's healthy for you. And for someone who has, you know, who's been through a lot of stuff that wasn't fun and you came out of it, I think it doesn't matter if someone is offended by the fact that you turned down money. You need to focus on being happy.
And I know I have a friend who has a mental illness, I think far more severely than I have, and has been disabled, not able to work because of it for 20 years, and you know, is a great person, super creative, but is completely, like, despite meds, despite repeated hospitalization, is just blindsided. I mean, I think it's just like any other illness. It hits some people so much harder than others, and it's not anyone's fault. And I think I've been very, very lucky, or have a lighter version of it.
Are you touring a lot too?
I go out maybe twice a month, and
that's a good amount.
Yeah,
because you're still on the road, but it's not like.
And I only do one show per night, so I'm not. Yeah, it's not like bananas. And I always go with my friend Jackie Cation, which is
amazing.
Super helps. Because I think there is something in isolation that is not at all. I mean, obviously, it wouldn't be helpful to brain health. And so, like, I guess anybody's out there to that there's all sorts of 12 step groups too. Like there's just, and you don't have to, I don't believe in God, and you could still just, you could still go, and it's free. It's fucking free, man. And they got it for money. They got it for food. They got it for, if you have anybody who has an addiction in your family, I don't know. I think they're awesome just cause it's free and it's sort of cognitive behavioral health where, you know, it can change your neural pathways, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of how you think of things rather than it's helped me a lot in terms of especially with work. I now think of show business or my job as a friend with a terrible drinking problem. I love her so much. She is so much fun if you catch her at the right time of night. You're so pretty. Okay, you're the most beautiful forever because I love you. And look at me, look at me. Okay, an hour later, she will have forgotten of everything that we've spoken of. Shut up. Go. I don't know you. Don't touch me. Don't touch me. I'm sorry. The hot dogs are for principal talent only. And that just, and the great thing about having a friend with an addiction, and I've been on both sides of this, is that they will not remember when you let them down. When they call you, because you're the only one, you are the only one who understands me, and I really need a ride. You're number 6 on a list of 25. They'll be fine. They'll hitch home. They'll be good. Never worry. And never worry about showbirds. As you know, like people, like, oh, God, I had to take this. You know, they called me and said, there's a gig and it's at a casino in Laughlin and they really want you. It's only $1. Oh, my shoelaces are tied together. I think you'll find somebody. And now I've tried to be joyful when I, you know, not expect so much of her. You know, just go, listen, she's just hustling, show business is. I'm just happy when I see her running across the freeway in her bare feet, carrying a Golden Globe, screaming at me, where have you? You look familiar. Where have you been hiding? We've met many times before. Last time I saw you, you said I saved your life, and then you kissed me on the mouth. Anyways, it's not personal, that show business, but that means I can also say no. You know, I don't have to leap at every call, because at least, and I think a lot of jobs like that are like that now, where it's like everything's an emergency. You're doing this for the team. Are you a member of the family? Are you dedicated? It's like, and then can just as fast, let you off, you know, just say, oh, we don't need you anymore.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting realization to have at a certain point where you're like, oh, maybe it isn't the answer to everything.
yeah.
Maybe there are other things
in
the world. Like my manager, Alex, said, you know, I'm so excited for you to get married. I'm so excited for you guys to have a kid because it'll just take all this other gunk off the table that's not important.
Yeah.
You know, just worrying about, oh, we're trying to do this thing. I don't know how the internet's responding to it. I don't know if it's like, it's none of that. It doesn't, you know, just like worry about.
The internet is a burning car. That's Elizabeth Gilbert. She said that in a really great essay about the internet. It's like, you know, just step away. Step away.
Walk away. Walk away.
Don't touch the hot stove. The stove
is hot. How often do you write new stuff?
I just finished, I just recorded an album. And so I think I want to give myself, it just seems to slowly happen over time. I get sick of stuff. And so this last one took me about 3 years, and now I'm trying to do how I used to think people with hobbies, I just would be so irritated with them, like, oh God, what are you wasting your time for? Are you getting any money on that deal? Like, you know, just like, And then I looked
carbon
down.
Carbon thimbles. Why, yeah, why are you doing that?
Yeah. You know, plans of getting better at it?
You can sell those on an Etsy shop? Yeah, what are you going
to do? Yeah, come on. Make some money or less. Don't give it away.
You're going to need to get those thimbles a Twitter handle.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to get them on social media right away.
Yeah. Get a publicist. It's about $1,000 a month. It's so worth it, though. It's an investment in your thimble future. But then I looked down at what I was always doing, and I was always doing self-help, and I realized, oh my God, I've just been playing emotional Sudoku for 24 years. Like, I've not changed discernibly at all, you know, so I've just been, you know, just kind of connecting the dots and doing my own puzzles, but it's not really, it's just for fun.
Yeah.
Like, and one of the jokes is my husband and I do a live-action role-playing of our mothers. Linda, I got a new purse. I thought you might want to see it because I got it with my Hilton Honors and it's just gorgeous. It's a Coach. Oh, Marilyn, I don't need a purse. I have nothing to put in one and nowhere to go. Well, Linda, you need to treat yourself because you raised 4 beautiful children under very difficult circumstances. I had nothing to do with it. They had a horrible childhood. I'm amazed that they even survived. Well, Linda, you know, listen, you know, I was a therapist. You never worked a day in your life. I worked for 40 years as a nurse. I sat on men's deathbeds as they begged for hand jobs with their dying breath. Well, you're right about that, Linda. I was a dermatologist's wife. I wore a diamond solitaire necklace like a yoke. Would you want to watch any movie starring American award-winning actor Timothy Olyphant while sharing a box of Sherry's Berries still cold from the internet? Well, I'd love to. We'd have to put my cinnamon roll squishable between us. Well, that's fine. I'll put my purse between us, too. We can pretend we're in Delta Economy Comfort.
God damn it. I feel like
listen, I'm hesitant to say this because I don't want to give you more tasks.
No.
But I just feel like you really should have a podcast or just something where you could just go whenever you feel inspired or something just gets in your head, you just go into a room in your house, you sit down and you record it, and you get up and leave. And then someone comes in and they just publish it.
Oh.
They just publish it somewhere.
That's not a bad idea.
Because it'd just be therapeutic for you.
Yeah, yeah. Get
an intern?
Maybe. not for any other reason other than it would just be cathartic. And also, you know, it's just as a fan of it, I just want to hear it.
It's so fun. My husband has such a great, he does such a good mom impersonation. That's been delightful. He does impersonations of his family, which freaked me out at first, which is hilarious. Like the things that, like I was like, God, it scares me. He does these impersonations of his family. Oh. That's what I mean, just unreal.
That reminds me of the time my mom was like,
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
I mean, I would get so scared of things that I do all the time with him. Like, anyways, it was just very
well,
funny.
We are afraid of ourselves.
Interesting.
Isn't that great? Do you feel like in relationships we're trying to escape ourselves or are we seeking out ourselves in a relationship? Do you find that you're... relationship is kind of an extension of who you are, who you want to be, or do you feel like it's
I think it's like risk. I think it's an opportunity to heal trauma from that you've had from childhood or whatever, from different, like if you had fears in childhood of like,
right.
Like my family, you know, and then for whatever reason, if it was because I was had mentals or I just didn't feel super safe. I just felt like really highly anxious all the time, like just always on the alert. And my mom, there's some light hitting. As Jackie says, it was the 70s.
Right.
It's the golden age of hitting.
Well,
and
if the kid was mouthing off. Yeah. Just like a 70s parent would smack him.
Yeah, smack across the face. Don't give him any warning on that. Now I've forgotten the question.
The question was
was
if you were alone on a desert island,
Oh, I like this question.
What's on your romance mix?
Oh, my romance mix. Sade. Sweetest Taboo. Okay. Oh, okay. Purple Rain by Prince.
Of course.
Love That One. Yeah. Okay. Journey. The entire collection.
What? On one mix? That's not a mix, Maria. Yeah. That's Journey with Sade and fucking the other one.
And then a bunch of things that my husband likes that I don't remember the names to because they're all like found world music. They're recordings from the 1930s of like a small African girl in Nigeria saying, no, I'm not. It's not an exact.
Sounded like a Three Stooges episode.
Yeah.
A lot of djembe heavy music.
He just played the David Bowie song that's about it's like a giggly cartoon voice during a David Bowie song that's about a dwarf or a goblin or there's another word for that. Who's the guy who's the Travelocity? Gnome! Mm-hmm. About a gnome! And it's a David Bowie song, and he played that for me, and we giggled and laughed.
If Kyle is stumped...
No, I've heard the song, I just don't know what it's called.
It's like one of those... I think it's something gnome.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Gnome Man's Land. Hey guys, can't your old dad have fun too? Can't your old dad have fun? Can he make jokes? Come on, kids. I let you stay up late.
We get our sense of humor from you, Father.
What's it called?
The Laughing Gnome.
The Laughing Gnome.
Oh, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah. It's something about a laughing gnome, but I can't quite recall. Like a melancholy. Where are you performing next?
I'll be performing at the Kansas City.
Hey, Maria Bamberson here.
Is this going to be on when?
Next week.
Next Tuesday. Okay, so
I mean, it's on today.
Okay, so you can go to mariebamford.com /tour, but there's going to be a number of cities I'm going to be in.
I think it would probably be a forward slash.
Forward slash.
A backslash would be for local files on your own drive, Maria.
A nerd.
Stop it.
Oh, / mariebamford.com /tour. And
ticket sales have plummeted. Everyone's backslashing. I don't know what you say on that podcast, Maria. No, it's fine.
And I think I'm going to be almost everywhere that there's a major city, except Florida. And
sorry, Florida.
I know. And Atlanta, Washington D.C., New York, Toronto, Montreal,
you know what,
Minneapolis,
Florida, you
Chicago.
Maria, Atlanta's a hub.
It is
just
a hub.
Hop on a Delta flight and hop up to Atlanta.
Yeah,
super easy.
It could take the gray dog.
Yeah.
What's that now? 30 cents?
It's got to be like 30 cents. To ride the gray dog.
Now they have the sleeping bus where you sleep in a sleep pod. I saw that too.
Oh, I just did a tour bus.
Oh,
for 10 days. I don't think I'll do it again.
It sounds terrible.
I thought it was going to be this really awesome, like, oh, this is like a rock star experience. We're going to be driving around. There's a bed. It's like being driven around in a produce truck. You can't stand up. You can't poop in it. You can't poop in it.
What?
The driver just said, I wouldn't recommend going number two unless you're going to hot bag it. And we never asked what that meant. But we just assumed there was a bag involved and it's poop adjacent. And so we just go backed away. But
hot bag it.
So you can't sleep at night because it's so like rocking back and forth. So you're basically just up until 5 o'clock in the morning until you get into the next town and you kind of crawl into a Hampton Inn and sleep on one of those soft beds. And I don't know. I thought it was going to be this like, oh, this is the luxurious. I've made it. I'm on a tour bus.
Yeah.
And it really just felt like being driven around in a truck.
Okay.
Like where you just can't ever be comfortable and you always. And one night we slept in it after a venue and every little noise I was like, someone's breaking in. Like I just never felt comfortable in it.
Did you feel, was it nice though to like do a bunch of cities in a row? Was that feeling nice?
That was great. That feeling was great rather than having to go out
Come back.
Yeah. Just bang out like, you know, 8 shows in 9 days, 10 days. Yeah. That sounds.
Yeah, that seems really good. But also, I do like going one show at a time. I did do a casino in Connecticut.
How was it?
It was really nice. They have a really nice theater. And, I mean, there's a little bit of the element of people wandering in going, oh, we just lost all our money. I mean, we could sit down in here. This is free, right?
Can you keep it down up there, please?
Yes. but then because of the internet, people come out. People come out and it's delightful. You tweet your logistics and people will drive.
I would suspect this show is going to bring more people to your shows.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was really. I've been having so much fun. It's so nice. I mean, everybody who comes to your shows is probably a bit of a reflection of who you are, you know? So it's like, hi, I like you too.
If you're doing something
that you enjoy
yeah. And you're doing something that's kind of an accurate representation.
Yes.
Like, I always kind of feel bad for comics who have a character that brings out an audience that's kind of not who they are, because it's like, oh man, how can you be happy if you don't like your audience? Like, some people are just like, fuck it, make money, fine. But I kind of like the experience of, like, these are people I'd hang out with.
Yeah, and I would totally want to ride home with.
Yeah.
If they could.
Yeah.
Because the venue's not giving me one.
No, no.
There
was a dollar to do the casino in Laughlin.
No, that was about 10 years ago. I got paid very well at Connecticut Foxwoods and Manitoket.
So you did both of them.
Both of them.
You did Manitoket.
Yeah, no, it was a double bill.
Yeah.
But it was really, it was really great. And
just like those conjoined ducks. Guys, your old dad's having a great double bill. Your old dad's having a great time. And he just wants to laugh.
You taught us everything we know, Father.
Well, listen, you know, when Mom left, she was sorting some things out. But now it's you and your old dad, and he likes to have fun.
Well, that actually happened when having the wrong crowd, when I did the Target commercials, is that I had did a Target character for commercials. And
what did they think they were going to? Why aren't you talking about Target products?
Exactly. And that there was going to be this hyped, fun, excitable character piece on for an hour. Women would come, you know, shop. Pro shopping type women. Turns out I'm not pro shopping. When I go into my deepest soul, I would like to recycle things and wear the same thing for 9 days. If you don't mind, hopefully you find my shtink to be an attractor. So that was scary. I was like, oh shit, like they're here for a good time. And they think it's going to be this thing. And I'm so sorry. I'm going to do a half hour on suicide.
Yeah. And
whoops.
That.
Yeah.
But I think
we both should have done our research on this one.
I'll take my part of this, part of this.
And I felt really responsible taking a commercial campaign. Like, I will not take a commercial campaign ever again to do commercials, because I know myself that as soon as somebody says you cannot talk about something, I will talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to talk about it, and I want to talk about the negative parts of it. And almost immediately. Did you know that Target employees are, it's just like Walmart, the only thing that makes it different is the design quality as well as the marketing.
This grand opening's it's open for business. Maria, you're kind
of, I'm the only union paid
just
worker
cut
here.
Cut the ribbon. Cut the fucking ribbon.
You two SAG actors actually made the union busting video that they showed all employees. Oh, God.
Hey, how come you talk weird? I don't want to go to Target. that was in North Dakota. I just wanted.
Oh,
yeah, that man was displaced. He recently moved to North Dakota.
No, searching for work.
Looking
for
work.
Jobs.
Just honest work, you know. He just went up to North Dakota, just to find a good time. Just following his dreams.
Yeah.
Follow my dream to North Dakota.
Have you been to the new bowling alley in my neighborhood?
Highland Park Bowl?
Yes.
No, I've seen fucking amazing pictures of it.
You've kind of got to go.
I really want to go to it.
Yeah. I mean, there might. I don't know if there would be an incident because people know that you're... you know, not only are you a star, but you are a bowling
Four people would be extremely excited. Four people would be extremely excited.
But it's gorgeous, and it's really beautiful bowling memorabilia.
Oh man, I'm so excited to go. Yeah. I just haven't been around much, and I've been working the rest of the time. But yeah, I want to have like a bowling party there.
Yeah,
and just invite a bunch of people, like maybe someone who lives in the neighborhood.
What?
90041
next to the two.
I mean Scotch the yeah, I was gonna say the, can you ask the fraternity guys if...
Oh. I mean Justin and Josh and another J name.
Can you ask Quaid and Cade if they will come to the... No, I'll always invite
you.
We're really just really
excited about marketing. We've got jobs marketing. What are you marketing? No, I just want to get to work and get into sales.
Yeah,
selling what?
Would you mind if we put our Teens for Trump on your lawn? Are you cool with that?
Mind if I use them? No, I will not talk about it. Did everyone write all their congressmen, their senator, their representative? Write, text, tweet, send out a hot air balloon to them. Do everything you can to get a hold of to the president. Tell them that we want to have gun control. Are you not on board with that, Chris Hardwick?
I am on board with it.
God damn it. That was a scary moment for me because then I thought, I might have to educate.
What? No. Dear Senator.
No. Because I feel like it has to be an uprising of the group that makes this change because it is just continues to be horrifying.
Yeah. And
we must uprise.
Hopefully we'll not. I mean, I don't know. It's so overwhelming to even think about. I mean, the car country is so massive.
Yeah.
It's so massive. It's like, how do you begin? Like, where do you... It has to start on such a granular level. Like, how do you do it?
Well, I think if we take up arms... Oh.
Wait, Maria, that's opposite of what you just... You know, you're one of my favorite people and certainly comedians, too. I honestly always... I'm always jealous that there's just this comedy just comes so perfectly formed out of you.
Oh.
It just seems like it's just like these nuggets of just perfect little jewels that come out. I feel like I have to slay. I'm just like, ah, that's dumb. Oh, no. I got to go work that out. But
could you get
these fucking perfect.
No. I slaved over those too, Chris. I slaved and I rehearsed that.
Nah, it's too easy for you.
No, like, thousands of times. No, and I, right back at you. Like, whenever I watch you do At Midnight, it's just amazing. Like, how you can just read all that new material.
No, we're talking about you. We're talking about you.
No, I am talking about you.
Maria, I'm very angry. I'm very angry that you're trying to talk about me when I'm trying to talk about you.
Well, that's very kind, and that's the exciting thing I love about being in Los Angeles is just surrounded by people that are so inspiring and so good at their jobs. I remember one of the first open mics I went to in LA. You may have been at it. I'm sure you were one of the first several I went to, and just being like, oh my gosh, everyone's good.
Yeah,
everyone's so good and or confident, and that makes up for a lot.
It was a good group.
Yeah,
it was a really good group.
And people and the comics that are starting now are just starting at a whole new level. Like, are just all beginning. Being very good. Like, they don't seem to go through the awkward stage at all, it seems like to me. I see so many comics around the country, and I'm just like, oh my God, they're awesome.
Like, they must be stopped.
Why don't you headline? Why don't you take the... See?
The new generation's not going to take
how
my
I'm
chair.
I'm doing this co-job sharing thing.
Mm-hmm.
See how I'm doing
I'm going to share time with a local comic.
I also do open book accounting for live shows where, with Jackie, I pay her a third of what I'm earning. So the gross of what I, the net of what I'm earning, I pay her a third of that, and then I get the other two thirds because she's doing a third of the show.
Right.
So, because I thought that was interesting to me. I thought, because I don't want it to.
She does like 20 minutes?
Yeah, she does 20, and then I do 45.
Yeah.
And then I think that's fair. Anyways, I thought it was. It was meaningful to me in a numerical way.
Well, it is, because a lot of times when someone's opening for you, you know, like most people,
it's a they go, oh no, the opener can just get the opening act
like
still
$75 or something crazy,
yeah,
like, or, that.
Yeah, and you just go, oh no, why don't, this is where it needs to not just trickle down, it could,
right,
actually flood down at this point.
Yeah.
Because we bought our house outright. We have our house. We're ready for retirement. Wow, it almost sounds like I have retired.
What about you're missing out on the sweet kisses of monthly mortgage payments that are just there every month to give you a hug. And
no, that was so funny. We paid off our mortgage, and the guy immediately was like, "Would you like to have a home equity loan?" Excuse me? Like, do not understand what.
We want you to pay for more money.
No, we're just going to put more money in the bank, and we're just going to have that money. Hmm. We're just going to have it.
Can we have it?
Yeah. Nope. Okay. No, we're going to live within our means, yet our means do not define us. Live simply so that others may simply live. And that means one pair of pants for each of us. Make
on
it
Sundays
last.
We share. On Sundays we share. You get a leg, I'll take a leg.
Yes. 42-incher. It works for us as a family.
Mary Bamford, I adore you. Please come back on At Midnight soon.
Thank
you.
Oh, of course. No, I'm grateful. That's a good earning job.
And Lady Dynamite is on Netflix now. And honestly, everyone, if you haven't watched it yet, and I know a lot of people have, but if you haven't, you absolutely should watch Lady Dynamite.
Yes, yes.
On Netflix.
Yes. But take care of yourself. You know, if it's not your thing, stand up. Rise up.
Now, if I'm worried about saying enjoy your burrito. That's how we end the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, that's perfect. What do you say? They say,
I say
buen provecho. Buen provecho a su burrito.
Sí.
Sí.
Habla español.
Sí.
Oh, muy bien.
No mucho.
María
solamente.
Bamford, muy bien.
Yo puedo hablar solo en el presente. No, nada que ocurre en el pasado es posible para. This year. I can't say anything from the past, only the present.
I could, but I like to confine myself to present.
It's,
I feel like it's the best way to live.
It really is. I live in the now. In Spanish.
In Spanish. That's why when I speak Spanish, I am not anxious, because I'm not worrying about the future or the past, because I cannot communicate in those tenses. I only can communicate in present tense. So in Espanol, I'm muy bien. Perfect.
Thank you.
Maria Bamford.
Back up.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.